Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is fabulous Friday, January 27th, 2012. I can't believe we're almost through the first month of the year. What a month it's been. You know, we've learned a lot, grown a lot. Hopefully, we've all taken a lot of action. And we're making the first 1/12th of 2012 a good launch pad, a great start to having 2012 be the best year of our lives. That's my goal, and I hope it is your goal. This year, there's no reason it shouldn't be the best year of our lives, financially, physically, and in all areas that are good. So that's one of the main reasons for this call, folks, is to help us learn and understand how to improve on a daily basis, become better, access our subconscious minds, and actually that's the topic of today's call, the subconscious mind. You know, the last couple of days, we've been talking about how we are programmable creatures. We're computer programmers. And the thoughts that we allow into our minds and the thoughts that we keep out of our minds will literally program our minds. And what do we mean when we say, you know, we're programming ourselves? What part of the mind is being programmed? In large part, it's this thing called the subconscious mind. And I've got to remind everybody what Melvin said the other day, because this is just so priceless. You've got to think of yourself as a computer. When somebody says to you, wow, you're so talented, when somebody says to you, you can't do this, you've got to be a robot and say to yourself, does not compute. And when somebody says to you, what makes you think you can accomplish this goal? You know, you should just go get a job. You should just, you know, be an average person. Does not compute. And then when somebody says to you, you can do this, you can achieve your dreams, you can generate residual income, you are somebody of worth, you are somebody of value, you are somebody that is worth believing in, thank you, want more. Literally, folks, I love that that little metaphor that Melvin shared with us, because that's what we have to do. We have to watch our thoughts and only allow into our subconscious minds what those things that are in harmony with the truth, and those things that are empowering, those things that are going to program that subconscious mind and allow it to work as it is supposed to work. And I learned in the book Psycho Cybernetics, I talk a lot about that book because it talks a lot about the subconscious mind. And in that book, it teaches us, Dr. Maltz teaches us, that the subconscious mind is an automatic goal-striving mechanism. In other words, the subconscious mind, all we have to do is give it the goal. And once we give it the goal, if it's programmed correctly, it will go to work automatically. And success or failure, it can be failure, if it's programmed for failure, will take place automatically, in large part, without conscious thought. So the subconscious mind is definitely a subject worthy of our attention. It's worthy of study because it plays such a large role in this whole concept that we're trying to grasp, and we are grasping, of how to program ourselves so that we can automatically be successful. Did Bill happen to hop on the line? Okay, no big deal. Well, I'm going to jump into this. This is Chapter 12, The Subconscious Mind, The Connecting Link, The 11th Step Toward Riches. The subconscious mind consists of a field of consciousness in which every impulse of thought that reaches the objective mind through any of the five senses is classified and recorded, and from which thoughts may be recalled or withdrawn as letters may be taken from a filing cabinet. It receives and files sense impressions or thoughts regardless of their nature. You may voluntarily plant in your subconscious mind any plan, thought, or purpose which you desire to translate into its physical or monetary equivalent. The subconscious acts first on the dominating desires which have been mixed with emotional feeling, such as faith. Consider this in connection with the instructions given in the chapter on desire for taking the six steps there outlined, and the instruction given in the chapter on the building and execution of plans, and you will understand the importance of the thought conveyed. Again, on a simple level, we repeat daily the major definite purpose, our goal, and the self-confidence formula. These are thoughts that we're repeating, we're programming our minds, and we mix them with positive emotions, with visualization, and this is one of the keys to impact, getting down into that subconscious mind. The subconscious mind works day and night. Through a method of procedure unknown to man, the subconscious mind draws upon the forces of infinite intelligence for the power with which it voluntarily transmutes one's desires into their physical equivalent, making use always of the most practical media by which this end may be accomplished. You cannot entirely control your subconscious mind, but you can voluntarily hand over to it any plan, desire, or purpose which you wish transformed into concrete form. Read again instructions for using the subconscious mind in the chapter on auto-suggestion. There is plenty of evidence to support the belief that the subconscious mind is the connecting link between the finite mind of man and infinite intelligence. It is the intermediary through which one may draw upon the forces of intelligence at will. It alone contains the secret process by which mental impulses are modified and changed into their spiritual equivalent. It alone is the medium through which prayer may be transmuted to the source capable of answering prayer. The possibilities of creative effort connected with the subconscious mind are stupendous and imponderable. They inspire one with awe. I never approach the discussion of the subconscious mind without a feeling of littleness and inferiority, due perhaps to the fact that man's entire stock of knowledge on this subject is so pitifully limited. The very fact that the subconscious mind is the medium of communication between the thinking mind of man and infinite intelligence is of itself a thought which almost paralyzes one's reason. After you have accepted as a reality the existence of the subconscious mind and understand its possibilities as a medium for transmuting your desires into their physical or monetary equivalent, you will comprehend the full significance of the instructions given in the chapter on desire. You will also understand why you have been repeatedly admonished to make your desires clear and reduce them to writing. Again, major definite purpose. Why, you know, by the first day of such and such, I will have in my possession X amount of dollars. Very clear, very clear. When somebody asks you, what are you about? What are you doing on a daily basis? Where are you going? I hope you can look them in the eye and tell them exactly what your major definite purpose is. Must be clear. You will also understand the necessity of persistence in carrying out instructions. The 13 principles are the stimuli with which you acquire the ability to reach and influence your subconscious mind. Do not become discouraged if you cannot do this upon the first attempt. Most people will not be able to do this on the first attempt. Persistence, folks. Remember that the subconscious mind may be voluntarily directed only through habit under the directions given in the chapter on faith. You have not yet had time to master faith. Be patient. Be persistent. A good many statements in the chapters on faith and auto-suggestion will be repeated here for the benefit of your subconscious mind. Remember, your subconscious mind functions voluntarily, whether you make any effort to influence it or not. This naturally suggests to you that thoughts of fear and poverty and all negative thoughts serve as stimuli to your subconscious mind unless you master these impulses and give it more desirable food upon which it may feed. The subconscious mind will not remain idle. If you fail to plant desires in your subconscious mind, it will feed upon the thoughts which reach it as the result of your neglect. We have already explained that thought impulses, both negative and positive, are reaching the subconscious mind continuously. So again, we're all growing a garden, folks. It's either going to have weeds or it's going to have flowers and corn and potatoes and cabbage and all this great food we can eat, or it's going to have weeds. We don't have a choice. It's going to grow something. The choice we have, which I'm sorry, Melvin, I know you're going to catch me there. We do have a choice. The choice is, are we going to grow weeds or are we going to grow a luscious productive garden. For the present, it is sufficient if you will remember that you are living daily in the midst of all manner of thought impulses which are reaching your subconscious mind without your knowledge. Some of these are negative, some are positive. You are now engaged in trying to help shut oil shut the flow of negative impulses and to aid in voluntary influencing your subconscious mind through positive impulses of desire. When you achieve this, you will possess the key which unlocks the door to your subconscious mind. Moreover, you will control that door so completely that no undesirable thought may influence your subconscious mind. Everything which man creates begins in the form of a thought impulse. Man can create nothing which he does not first conceive in thought. Through the aid of imagination, thought impulses may be assembled into plans. The imagination, when under control, may be used for the creation of plans or purposes that lead to success in one's chosen occupation. All thought impulses intended for transmutation into their physical equivalent, voluntarily planted in the subconscious mind, must pass through the imagination and be mixed with faith. The mixing of faith with a plan on purpose intended for submission to the subconscious mind may be done only through imagination. From these statements, you will readily observe that voluntary use of the subconscious mind calls for coordination and application of all the principles. Ella Wheeler Wilcox gave evidence of her understanding of the power of the subconscious mind when she wrote, "You can never tell what a thought will do in bringing you hate or love. For thoughts are things, and their airy wings are swifter than carrier doves. They follow the law of the universe. Each thing creates its kind, and they speed o'er the track to bring you back whatever went out from your mind." Mrs. Wilcox understood the truth that thoughts which go out from one's mind also embed themselves deeply into one's subconscious mind, where they serve as a magnet, pattern, or blueprint by which the subconscious mind is influenced while translating them into their physical equivalent. Thoughts are truly things for the reason that every material thing begins in the form of thought energy. The subconscious mind is more susceptible to influence by impulses of thought mixed with feeling or emotion than by those originating solely in the reasoning portion of the mind. In fact, there is much evidence to support the theory that only emotionalized thoughts have any action influence upon the subconscious mind. It is a well-known fact that emotion or feeling rules the majority of all people. If it is true that the subconscious mind responds more quickly to and is influenced more readily by thought impulses which are well mixed with emotion, it is essential to become familiar with the more important of the emotions. There are several major positive emotions and seven major negative emotions. The negatives voluntarily inject themselves into thought impulses, which ensure passage into the subconscious mind. The positives must be injected through the principle of autosuggestion into the thought impulses which an individual wishes to pass on to his subconscious mind, and instructions have been given in the chapter on autosuggestion for doing just that. These emotions or feeling impulses may be likened to yeast in a loaf of bread because they constitute the action element which transforms thought impulses from the passive to the active state. Thus may one understand why thought impulses, which have been well mixed with emotion, are acted upon more readily than thought impulses originating in cold reason. You are preparing yourself to influence and control the inner audience of your subconscious mind in order to hand over to it the desire for money, which you wish transmuted into its monetary equivalent. It is essential, therefore, that you understand the method of approach to this inner audience. You must speak its language, or it will not heed your call. It understands best language of emotion or feeling. Let us therefore describe here the major positive emotions and the major negative emotions so that you may draw upon the positives and avoid the negatives when giving instructions to your subconscious mind. Here are the major positive emotions: desire, faith, love, enthusiasm, romance, hope. There are other positive emotions, but these are the most powerful and the ones most commonly used in creative effort. Master these emotions, they can be mastered by use, and the other positive emotions will be at your command when you need them. Remember in this connection that you are studying a book which is intended to help you develop a money consciousness by filling your mind with positive emotions. One does not become money conscious by filling one's mind with negative emotions, and here are the major negative emotions to be avoided. The emotion of fear, the emotion of jealousy, the emotion of hatred, the emotion of revenge, the emotion of greed, the emotion of superstition, the emotion of anger. Positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time. One or the other must dominate. It is your responsibility to make sure that positive emotions constitute the dominating influence of your mind. Here the law of habit will come to your aid. Form the habit of applying and using the positive emotions. Eventually, they will dominate your mind so completely that the negatives cannot enter into it. And we all can get there. I promise you we can. Only by following these instructions literally and continuously can you gain control over your subconscious mind. The presence of a single negative in your conscious mind is sufficient to destroy all chances of constructive aid from your subconscious mind. If you are an observing person, you must have noticed that most people resort to prayer only after everything else has failed, or else they pray by a ritual of meaningless words. And because it is a fact that most people who pray do so only after everything else has failed, they go to prayer with their minds filled with fear and doubt, which are the emotions the subconscious mind acts upon and passes on to infinite intelligence. Likewise, it is the emotion which infinite intelligence receives and acts upon. If you pray for a thing but have fear as you pray that you may not receive it or that your prayer will not be acted upon by infinite intelligence, your prayer will have been in vain. Prayer does sometimes result in the realization of that for which one prays. If you have ever had the experience of receiving that for which you prayed, go back in your memory and recall your actual state of mind while you were praying, and you will know for sure that the theory here described is more than a theory. The time will come when the schools and educational institutions of the country will teach the science of prayer. Moreover, then prayer may be and will be reduced to a science. When that time comes, and it will come as mankind is ready for it and demands it, no one will approach the universal mind in a state of fear, for the very good reason that there will be no such emotions as fear. Ignorance, superstition, and false teaching will have disappeared, and man will have attained his true status as a child of infinite intelligence, if you have already attained this blessing. If you believe this prophecy is far-fetched, then he goes on to talk about his vision of this state where we may get to the point where people understand this, and that would be a beautiful place, and I would hope that we get there. And maybe with this call, we can help this vision come to pass where people do understand how to have faith and how to have these positive emotions and really how to get answers and get the blessings that we all want to have in our lives. Let me finish up the last part of this chapter, then we'll open it up for discussion. You may buy prayer books and repeat them until the day of your doom without avail. Thoughts which you wish to communicate to infinite intelligence must undergo transformation, such as can be given only through your subconscious mind. The method by which you communicate with infinite intelligence is very similar to that through which the vibration of sound is communicated by radio. If you understand the working principle of radio, you of course know that sound cannot be communicated through the ether until it has been stepped up or changed into a rate of vibration which the human ear cannot detect. The radio sending station picks up the sound of the human voice and scrambles or modifies it by stepping up the vibration millions of times. Only in this way can the vibration of sound be communicated through the ether. After this transformation has taken place, the ether picks up the energy, which originally was in the form of vibrations of sound, and carries that energy to radio receiving stations, and these receiving sets step that energy back down to its original rate of vibration so it is recognized as sound. The subconscious subconscious mind is the intermediary which translates one's prayers into terms which infinite intelligence can recognize, presents the message, and brings back the answer in the form of a definite plan or idea for the procuring the object of the prayer. Understand this principle, and you will know why mere words read from a prayer book cannot and will never serve as an agency of communication between the mind of man and infinite intelligence. Before your prayer will reach infinite intelligence, a statement of the author's theory only, it probably is transformed from its original thought vibration into terms of spiritual vibration. Faith is the only known agency which will give your thoughts a spiritual nature. Faith and fear make poor bedfellows. Where one is found, the other cannot exist. And, you know, I do believe that what Napoleon's talking about here is incredibly powerful and has so much merit, because there have been times in my life where I have prayed for things in fear, and inevitably they never materialize. And as he said in that book, he said, think back to a time where maybe you prayed and you got the thing for which you prayed, and think of your state of mind. And I can recall specifically the times in my life when I absolutely can attribute the asking of something to the receiving of it, and the asking in the form that I asked, I had an absolute state of faith. And I think back over to this last year and a half when I've started to understand this book and really strive to make a real deep understanding of it and apply what it teaches and develop this faith in my mind, and I'm achieving the things that I have set for myself, because what he's talking about works. If we get to this state of faith and have this positive emotions in collusion with the goals that we have set for ourselves, and these thoughts that we're repeating about, you know, how we're powerful individuals and how we know we have the ability to achieve the object of our definite purpose in life, and all these thoughts that we're trying to implant into our subconscious mind mixed with emotion, that's how we get them there. And it's amazing, folks. It's amazing. You know, one final thought, and then we'll open it up for discussion. One of my good friends, business partners, and mentors goes by the name of Doc Fran. And I remember Doc Fran sent out a message to our team one time, an email message. And in that message, he talked about how when he was a child, he was taught to look at prayer as, like, you know, this big slot machine up in the sky where you would just throw up a wish, pull the slot machine, and hope that the thing came down, you know, whatever the thing that you were hoping for. And he has since learned that that's not what prayer is intended to be, and he looks at prayer now. One of the ways that he looks at prayer is a never-ending state of mind where he lives as near as constantly as he possibly can in a state of gratitude, in a state of peace, in a state of faith, to where it's not just, you know, a couple of times a day he kneels down and pulls the slot machine. Now, I'm not, you know, saying that we shouldn't kneel down and pray to God. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But what I'm saying is, you know, there are certain scriptures which say that we should always be praying. Well, does that mean we should always be on our knees all day long? I don't think so. I think it means that there is something more to prayer. There is something that we should be doing on a continuous state. The book Science of Getting Rich talks about continuously being in communication with infinite intelligence. And how do we continuously do that throughout our day? It's by developing this mindset where constantly, not just once or twice a day, but all the time, we're rejecting the negative and we're nourishing the positive. We're constantly looking around and being grateful for that which we have. We're constantly expecting even more good to come into our lives, and we're constantly being grateful for that more good that is on its way to us. And these are just some of the clues that I believe are really powerful for developing this mindset of unstoppable achievement and unstoppable attainment of all the good things in life that we're out to achieve. So that being said, thanks for hanging with us through that read here. I'm going to open up the lines. I want to hear what each of you have to say on this topic. So let me do that here. Okay, folks, star 6 to unmute your line. Excited for the discussion here. Don't be shy.
Can you hear me,
Paul?
There?
Melvin, I can hear you, sir.
Yeah, Paul, this subject here is absolutely incredible. And the last little part that you said there from Dr. Fran, that is such a powerful thing. And if everybody can realize that, that your every thought is a prayer and you are praying throughout the day. So it might be one thing when you get on your knees and you focus and concentrate it more so, but every thought is a prayer within itself. Those you're sending it out then. This subject is a monster subject, and it's so powerful that you can speak about this one and talk about this one for days.
Yeah.
The reason this is not taught, and by the way, our educational system does not educate it. It programs. There's a difference in being educated and learning how to think and function and really just being programmed in what someone's putting out there to you. They're not one and the same. What happened and what's going on right now, you see in a lot of countries there's things that are happening, and they're getting rid of these so-called leaders because what those people have done is they've used exactly what you're talking about, but they've used it to their advantage. Hitler did the same thing. He put the swastika all over the place. He spoke with very powerful feeling and emotion, and he in the same brainwashing over and over again. So this thing can work for good or for evil. You can end up killing your fellow man, or you can end up making this a better world. It really does not make a choice. That's that the subconscious mind obeys whatever you will it to obey. If you tell it to do right, it will say yes, master. If you tell it to do wrong, it will say yes, master. So we need to truly understand the power of this thing and how every single day you're being manipulated. And so your mind has to become like a sifter. And you have to use this to just let the right stuff in and throw the rest of the junk away, because it is all over the place. It's in your own household. It's on the TV. It's in politics. Everywhere you look. So we have to stop being lazy, and we have to start thinking, and we have to start, you know, using this filter, because if you don't use this filter, it's going into that subconscious. And knowingly or unknowingly, that's going to work to your benefit, or it's going to work against you. So very powerful subject, and a lot of good things you've said there. So let me just shut up for a while and let someone else come on in here.
Thanks for your comments, Melvin. I heard a lady's voice in there when Melvin came on. Who was that?
It was me, Bernie.
Hey, Bernie.
I just wanted to say that when you were talking about what Doc Fran told you, that, yes, I feel that when I'm going through my day, I don't always kneel down and say my prayers morning and night, because I'm always saying prayers, you know, talking
mm-hmm.
to Heavenly Father, whatever, and getting my answers back. So I almost am just like, wow, that's really, you know, it hit the button for me. I'm like, that's what I do. That's how I feel. So it was funny. And I also wanted to share, I was up in the middle of the night again last night, and I'm not sure if it was Linda or Joy who comes out with the I'm alive, awake, aware, and enthusiastic. But that was on my mind last night, and so I was writing down some extra things that I'm going to add into my, what are they called? Affirmations every day. And I wanted to share them with everyone. So I wrote down that I am alive, and I thank my Heavenly Father for that gift, mostly because I recently lost a friend to pancreatic cancer. I'm going to cry again, damn it. And she really showed me how the true meaning of enduring to the end and keeping a positive outlook to the very end. Anyway, I am awake to the possibilities open to me. I'm aware of my shortcomings and how to overcome them. And I'm enthusiastic to meet each day and crush the challenges that I face. I'm going to add that to my daily things every day. So I just wanted to share that with everyone.
I love you, Bernie. We love you. Those are powerful additions to Denise's Alive, Awake, Aware, Enthusiastic.
Thank you
so much for sharing those. And you reminded me, you know, I've got another friend. I actually had one of the best men I've ever known in my life. He died of stomach cancer, and same sort of thing. I mean, positive outlook, happy, smiling. You know, he was a leader of mine. He actually led a big group of us, and it's just a great example. And you also reminded me, I was talking to a friend, Bill, the other day, who had a golf partner who went into the dentist for a routine surgery. And he died. His heart stopped when he was under anesthesia. And Bill just told me, he said, "Paul, treasure every moment." And we do that. You're lying there. I am alive, awake. What did you say? I'm grateful to be alive, or something like that.
I'm grateful to my Heavenly Father for the gift of being alive. I'm alive,
yes.
And I thank my Heavenly Father for that gift.
Yes, yes. Just the simple fact that we're alive, people. That's huge. You know, it's such a major thing. So, I'm so. You really touched me there, Bernie. Thank you for sharing that.
My daughter just came in and said, "Mom, you need to get a box of tissue in here." She came in with the tissue. So, yeah, it was very good.
All right. Well, thank you, Bernie.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Star 6, mute your line. Or, I'm sorry, unmute your line.
Hey, Paul?
Yes?
I want to throw another comment in here because it's you know, whether people like me or don't like me, that's their business. But one of the things that have done a lot of damage to people, far more than most of us know, is religion. So don't just buy or follow that kind of program either, because a lot of that programming is wrong, and you've got to learn to truly use your head, and you've got to become your own person and learn to think for yourself and separate yourself from the stuff that's real and the stuff that's nonsense. There's a major difference in religion and being spiritual. They're not one and the same. And when you become spiritual, one of the things you will not have to do is you don't have to think the Creator by what we say. Your actions speak louder than your words. And so it's by how you live your life and what you do. Are you surely and truly showing your appreciation for this gift that you've been given?
Thank you, Melvin. Yeah. Yes, definitely. We do have to do that. And religion has been used as a tool for manipulation and control. And it has also been used to do a lot of good in the world. But yeah, in all cases, we have to do what you said. Think, use your mind, process ideas, come to your own conclusions, analyze your beliefs, you know, really, really pay attention. So very good advice there.
Good morning, guys. Rick from California.
Good morning, Rick.
Fantastic. It's another great morning. You know, what's beautiful about our whole community here. You know, we're sharing information. One of the things sometimes when you're talking, you're generally about not learning, because you're talking about something you already know. So listening is so important, and you learn by listening and obviously doing. But I want to say something that I think probably is going to galvanize through the group, because I think a lot of people are going to understand that when you hit the delete button, you get rid of whatever you just put in. Now, if you have a double mind when you're praying or when you're asking for something, the moment you're saying something, and you're sending out your vibration or you wish it, and if you're in a double mind state where you're not believing it, you just cancel that. You just cancel that. So you just basically wasted that particular thing that you asked for. You nullified it. You see, you just deleted what you just requested. And if you wonder why you're not getting what you're getting, it's whatever you think you're attracting at that point, it will send right back to you whatever the last thing you just did. You can look at the screen when you're writing something and you're typing in something, and you type something in and you just hit the delete key, you delete it back. The last thing that stays, okay, if you can picture that, is the last thing what you typed in and it stayed there, the same verbiage that you give, and you feel it. You have to feel it. You have to feel it. Believing in the unseen before it actually comes in the scene. We talk about repetition, but it's not just a repetition of it. Because if you're repeating it over and over, but you don't believe it, it's not going to come through. That is my view. You can feel how you feel about it. You have to feel it. Feeling is so important. That's exactly what Melvin talked about with Hitler and all the other guys that does things and it works for evil or it can work for good. It's very important because they're visualizing it. Everything you recall back in your days, in your past, is based on picture. You picture something. It's not from words. You're picturing it. So make sure that whatever we talk about here, make sure you get your own feeling and picturing it based on your own feelings. Picture everything. Take them and picture them. Create your own life. How you want it to be, based on what you're seeing, the images you're seeing in your mind. You can suck that from images, and your feeling is going to come. And that is my view on it. Thank you guys for letting me speak.
Rick, thank you. Great comments. And, yeah, it's like making a decision. You've got to make – we all have to learn to make decisions and be resolute in those decisions. When we ask for something, when we set a goal – don't be constantly looking in the rearview mirror. Don't be constantly looking for, should I turn right here? Should I turn left here when we know our destination is ahead? Be resolute in that decision. Great point.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Star 6, the line is open.
Hi, Paul. It's Linda. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Linda.
I just wanted to share, and I say this all the time, I so appreciate these calls because they're so enlightening, and I have learned so much, and I continue to learn. And the one thing when you were talking about praying without, actually I think the scripture says something like pray without ceasing. And in my experience with prayer groups and church and what have you, people have a tendency, and I'm not trying to bash anybody for whatever because I am a believer, but people have a tendency to go with the flow of what they hear from the pulpit and not necessarily investigate things for themselves because, in all honesty, they're lazy, okay? It's easy to go with the flow because if you go otherwise, you're not considered to be, quote-unquote, spiritual. But as I've come to know that even when you say pray without ceasing, you're right. We should always have these the attitude of gratitude, and also like Melvin said, we're praying constantly, whether we're praying for good or whether we're praying for bad, because if they're not positive thoughts, obviously the negative is going to take over. But by the same token, you know, we just have to be able to allow our subconscious mind to take in that which is so good, you know, because even I say that I know, and it, not to be funny, but I know a lot of broke Christians, and they keep waiting for this pie in the sky to come, but they're not doing anything except for walking with this so-called spiritual type attitude. And it's sad to me in the sense that people do not want, they say they want the truth, but they don't want the truth because, you know, there's no, what do you call it? They're not seeking other than, you know, with words. The work is not, the action is not put behind that. And I think I better shut up. So that's.
No, those are very, very, very insightful comments. And I've seen the same thing as I've looked around at a lot of people that I go to church with. And the reality is we have been trained, I think, as a people to rely on other people to do our thinking for us. And so it's just so easy to just go to church and just listen to whatever everyone's saying and just suck that in and put that in our belief system and never, ever think about it because it's the easy thing to do. So
I really appreciate what you just had to say. Paul, and what you're saying right now, because I have not, I've got to admit, I have not seen so many dumb, blind, ignorant people is the ones that just follow blindly like puppets, and they're fooling themselves, and they perpetuate the same thing, and they pass it along, and we all stay and live in ignorance and suffer because of it, because we're truly not getting the truth, and we're truly not being taught how to be set free, which is what it's truly all about, to be set free and to be all that we were meant to be. And the reason most do not wish that to happen is because if you're truly free, you cannot be manipulated. You can't be used for someone else's good. And so beautiful comments there.
Yeah, and last time we you know, approached this subject a little bit, one of the points that I put out there that I want to put out there again, we need to always have an attitude of humility. And to me, humility is one of the best ways to describe humility is an attitude that we're always learning and we're always open to new ideas and we're always open to the fact that we could be wrong. We're always open to that fact. So when we listen to people and we hear others' ideas, be slow to judge, be slow to say, hey, you're wrong, that's not right. Just always have an attitude of humility. And I think that's one of my greatest strengths, really. If you were to ask me, Paul, what is one of your greatest strengths? I do have that desire and that hunger to always be learning, and I'm never afraid to say to myself, Paul, that thought you have, that belief you have, might be wrong. Let's investigate that. Let's pay a little bit more attention to what Melvin's saying here or Linda's saying here or so-and-so. So I would just throw that out there that when we're approaching any subject, but, you know, right now we're talking about some things that might tend to be a little sensitive, God, religion. Let's just be humble and understand that we may have true beliefs, we may have false beliefs, and just be humble. I think that's a great thing to do. Anyone else? Star 6?
Hey, Paul. Mike Nelson here.
Hey, Mike.
How's it going? Hey, you guys, I was on my journey, thinking about this journey, I envision this little, my little daughter, her first steps, and how she, you know, let go of the table, and she kind of wobbled a little bit, and before she made her first step, her eyes opened up wide, and she was like, I think I can do it, you know, and you could, if I could just figure out what she was thinking in her head at that time, would be beautiful, but anyway, she finally gets the courage and makes that first step. And she falls down. You pick her up, you get her standing again, and her eyes get wide open again, and she makes another step. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And that is, you can't start out running. I think that was my problem. I started out running and ran past where I should have been. I forgot. I was on step 6.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Covey says, I was on step 6. Oh, time out here. Get back to step 1 again. Learn
mm-hmm.
about what you're talking about. Before
mm-hmm.
you start, before you take your first step, learn how to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Before you start running, learn how to walk. You guys are doing that for me. It's very inspirational. This morning, or last night before I went to bed, my wife and I talked, and we started dreaming, and I love to dream. If money were no object, what would you do? We talked about how we'd do this, we'd do that, we'd take a trip with the family and pay all expenses paid and blah, blah, blah. Then she said, okay, now one thing I got to ask. If money were no object, how would you pay God back? And I started thinking about, I told her about your story, the one where you're out in the mountains and mm-hmm. talking about, oh, by the way, I am in for $500 on your story that just brought tears to my eyes.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
But anyway, I'm rambling here. I forgot where I was at, and I do that all the time because my thoughts go faster than my mouth or whatever. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys that you are so inspiring, and just keep up the great work. I'm on your call every morning, and I usually don't open my mouth, and this might prove why, but anyway.
No, not at all, Mike.
I just thought I'd say that.
I'm so glad you did speak, because what you said is so incredibly profound. And if, you know, I have small children right now, and just recently my 6-year-old is learning how to read. And every night we sit down as a family and we read together. And as I listen to him read, it drives home what you're talking about, because he'll sound out a word. And then he'll read a couple of words, and then he'll get to one where he gets stuck, and then he'll just look at it, and it'll take a minute, and he'll start to sound it out, and maybe mom will have to tell him, or dad will have to tell him what the word is, and then he'll go for another couple of words. And I said to myself, we were all at that point. We were all at that point where we couldn't read, and we were just learning, and we were stalling, and then we would keep at it, and we would learn a little bit more. And now, how easy is it for us to read a paragraph? Well, it's easy. Right. It's second nature. But it wasn't that way for us in the beginning. But for some reason, we approach things in life, and we get frustrated with ourselves when we can't just make it happen and be good at it right off the bat. Well, that's not how it's set up to be. It's not how it ever was. We all have to go through that growth and that learning process where we take that first step, and, you know, we have that faith and we take that other step. So, Mike, thank you so much for what you shared. Just a really, really powerful point. And looking forward to hearing more from you on these calls, man. Thank you.
One little last little thing is, as my head did hit the pillow, I just, you know, asked for a little favor, and I woke up this morning and I found out that he does know how to use Gmail. Because I got a response from a gal that I talked to a week and a half ago, and she said, "Hey, we saw your video. We wanna get on your waiting list. When can we meet?"
Oh, that is awesome.
Yes, it is.
That
anyway,
is awesome.
Anyway, thanks
Mike.
A lot for everything
Great
you've
job.
Done, Paul.
My pleasure. It's my honor. Anyone else? *6. Let me check the time here, 7:48.
Paul, if I can still mention something, this is Marlies from New Mexico.
Yes,
okay.
Marlies,
I know
please.
We're getting towards the end, so I just really also want to be brief. Just again, I wanted to thank you. These calls are absolutely awesome. These are the principles I've been trying to incorporate also in my daily life. And I've been able to experience so many blessings because of that. But I just feel, gosh, if everybody in the United States and this world would have access to these kind of calls, and for you to be able to provide this for everyone now, I mean, the whole world is going to change practically overnight, because their eyes are going to be opened, and they're going to, as others have said before, they're going to be freed up, right, and truly understand what their true nature is, which is really not just this human body, but it's the soul within us. And really for us to be able to learn more and more to listen to that voice within, this subconscious mind that is directing us. And that's why I just wanted to briefly mention again EFT, the way it works, and I just wanted to make this one. It's called the setup statement, and it's the side of the hand. It's their meridian points. What you would actually do, it's Dr. Callan calls it the self-sabotage point, because I would ask a friend, I said, okay, let's just see, what would you like to be? And usually everybody would say, I want to be happy, healthy, and abundantly blessed or wealthy, right? And usually it will, you know, when you ask the body, it says no. And we know in our head, but that's not true. I want to be healthy. But the subconscious mind really prevents you from really living that truth and living that life. So the self-sabotage point, you would actually go with a statement like this, even though I have this tremendous fear of making cold calls or talking to this very successful person about 124, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. And then you can actually add like a choice affirmation. And I choose to be completely confident and feel excited about sharing this wonderful gift with everyone. And then you actually would repeat that. And believe me, it is so amazing how we bypass our conscious mind and really access the subconscious and thereby release these fears also so much more quickly and come into our own, what I would say, our own power and feel confident and feel excited and have all these positive emotions, being able to really replace them with the negative ones that we have. But thank you again, all these comments, everybody who contributed. It was amazing, powerful, just awesome. I love you all, and I'm just so happy I found your call, and I can't wait to just tell the world about it. Thank you again.
Thank you, Marlies. Beautiful comments. Appreciate that. All right, folks. Last chance, star six. All right. Well, listen, thank you, every single one of you, for being on the call today, investing in yourself. Thank you for the comments that have been shared. Thank you for the growth that's taken place for me and for everyone on the call. I do love you. I do believe in you. I do know that you have power within you. Let us make today one of the best days of our lives, if not the best day of our lives, by having faith, taking action, being persistent, understanding that we do have value, we do have worth, and we have the power within us to make this world a better place, and we can do it starting with ourselves, and then one by one, the people that we come into contact with. Make it a great day, have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.